Whether you're an evangelical, a Baptist, a Lutheran, or a member of one of the many other Protestant denominations, Martin Luther was ultimately the source for your beliefs. It is simply a fact of history that prior to Martin Luther's separation from the Catholic Church in approximately 1520, there was no public defender of what we now know to be Protestantism, the core doctrines of which are justification by faith alone and Scripture alone. I invite the listener to consider the rather revealing facts not only concerning Martin Luther's actual beliefs, but also concerning exactly when he came upon them. Please consider his truly man-made journey to Protestantism, and how Protestantism is, in truth, nothing more than the machinations of a very confused man. Martin Luther was born in 1483 and baptized a Catholic the next day. In 1505, he entered an Augustinian Catholic friary. He was ordained a priest in 1507. Therefore, as a young professing Catholic priest, Protestantism was completely unknown to Martin Luther, and indeed to the rest of the Christian world. On October 31, 1517, Martin Luther tacked his famous 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Many people are aware of this date and this event. Most Protestants today cite this date as the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. They think this represented Luther's public stand for the Protestant faith, for, quote, true and biblical Christianity. What they don't know is that Martin Luther's famous 95 Theses acknowledged the office of the Pope more than 20 times. At the time of the posting of the Theses, and indeed before it and for some time afterwards, Luther claimed to be a Catholic priest and monk. In his 95 Theses, Luther clearly acknowledges the office of the Pope as instituted by Christ, although he detracts from its dignity and power in the manner of indulgences. In addition to acknowledging the Pope, numbers 25-29 of the Theses acknowledge purgatory. Luther acknowledges the existence of purgatory, although he departs from Catholic teaching in what he says about it. Luther also declares his belief in indulgences, although he contradicts traditional Catholic doctrine on the issue. The following is typical of the contradictions exhibited by Luther. Number 71 of the Theses, October 31, 1517, quote, "Let him be anathema and accursed, who denies the apostolic character of the indulgences," end quote. The point here is that even on October 31, 1517, the Protestant faith was still unknown to Martin Luther, and indeed to the rest of the Christian world. There was no statement about justification by faith alone or Scripture alone. There was as yet no repudiation of the papal office or many other Catholic dogmas which Protestants today would reject. What you have at this point in 1517 is a confused and convoluted priest who, while claiming to be a Catholic, was clearly falling from the traditional Catholic faith into his own wild version of it, especially with regard to indulgences. He was no Protestant. Even at this point, the so-called biblical, quote, faith was unknown to its eventual founder. In 1518, Luther published a sermon on indulgences and grace, in which he attacked the traditional way of dividing penance into contrition, confession, and satisfaction. Luther claimed that it was not found in Holy Scripture, even though John 20:23 clearly indicates confession. This, along with Luther's contradiction of traditional Catholic teachings on indulgences, prompted the Church to summon him to Rome for an investigation. It should be noted that there were indeed some abuses by churchmen on indulgences. Such abuses represented a departure from the Catholic teaching on the matter. Indulgences cannot be bought. Occasional abuses in this area, which were committed by a few churchmen, in no way justify repudiating the traditional teaching. This teaching is rooted in the treasury of the merits of Jesus Christ and the saints and the power of the keys given to St. Peter in Matthew 16. According to Catholic teaching, indulgences are given for certain specified good works or pious actions such as prayers. They only remove the temporal punishment of already forgiven sins. They are not, as Protestants suggest, a means of buying one's way into heaven. At the beginning of July 1518, Luther is presented with an official summons to appear in Rome and give an accounting of his doctrines. While maintaining his new and heretical views on indulgences and penance, Luther claims, quote, "that the Roman Church has always maintained the true faith, and that it is necessary for all Christians to be in unity of faith with her." End quote. That means that even after having been summoned to Rome to answer for his new ideas, Luther professes that the Roman Church, meaning the Roman Catholic Church, has the true faith. At this point, Luther is undoubtedly drifting into his own personalized view of, quote, Christianity, but he is still no Protestant, as his statement about the Roman Church demonstrates. The so-called pure, simple, and, quote, biblical faith was still unknown to its eventual founder in July of 1518. As Luther's influence spread and his commitment to his new ideas hardened, the actions against him increased. Pope Leo X dispatched the learned Cardinal Cajetan to handle the case. Cajetan was to examine the situation and, if possible, get through to Luther. This occurred in the fall of 1518, but Luther remained obstinate. Despite his commitment to his new ideas, Luther declared the following at one of these interviews, quote, "The notary read out a declaration on behalf of Luther that, as far as he could remember, he, Luther, had never taught anything against Holy Scripture, the doctrines of the Church, the papal decrees, or sound reason. But as he was a man subject to error, he submitted himself to the decisions of the Holy Church and to all who knew better than he did." End quote. Once again, we see that Luther claims fidelity to papal teaching and to all of Catholic doctrine. He also appeals specifically to the Pope and expresses his willingness to retract if the Pope decided against him. The so-called biblical faith, Protestantism, was still unknown to its eventual founder. Not long after his meetings with Cajetan in November of 1518, Luther's views underwent another significant development. He came to the conclusion that the Pope, to whose decrees he had just claimed submission, is the Antichrist. He writes, quote, "I send you my trifling work, that you may see whether I am right or not in supposing that, according to Paul, the real Antichrist holds sway over the Roman court." End quote. Numerous utterances from this time show that Luther had, quote, fully formulated his proposition that the Pope was Antichrist. End quote. Yet, at this very time that he was calling the Pope, quote, the Antichrist, Luther appealed to a general council from the Pope. In other words, Luther considered the decisions of general councils to be definitive and authoritative. This, of course, contradicts one of the pillars of Protestantism, Scripture alone. Therefore, even at the point that Martin Luther had firmly set his face against the papacy as, quote, the Antichrist, he still hadn't discovered Protestantism. The so-called biblical faith was still unknown to its eventual founder. One should consider this fact deeply, for it demonstrates that whenever Luther did come up with Protestantism, it was nothing more than the creation of a confused mind. These facts demonstrate that all Protestants have embraced a purely man-created religion, which Luther was inventing and reinventing by the day. The true faith of Christ is a deposit, Jude 1:3, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was revealed by Christ to his apostles 2,000 years ago, and it was passed on by the apostles to the church. The true Christian faith thus has a historical link to the apostolic church, and it can be shown to have been believed by those who came before in the church. It is passed on from generation to generation. Luther grew up with the Catholic faith. Protestantism was unknown to him as a child. It was unknown to him as a priest. It was unknown to him when he posted his 95 Theses, and even when he first called the Pope the Antichrist and was appealing to a general council. At some point, indeed, Luther came up with Protestantism, and his conclusions had no link with his predecessors or even with what he had said or believed before. They were truly the inventions and discoveries of a man, Martin Luther. Protestants have thus submitted themselves to a system which Luther came up with among the rest of his contradictory and ever-changing views. These, quote, discoveries include the idea that man is justified by faith alone, which word for word contradicts the teaching of the Bible, James 2:24, a contradiction so blatant that Luther felt compelled to criticize the book of James because it contradicted him. In fact, he wanted to throw James out of the Bible and into the fire until his friends persuaded him that such a move would be too radical. Please listen to part 2. which includes a look at the shocking and perverse statements and doctrines that Martin Luther came up with in the process of creating Protestantism. Many of these quotes and much more information can be obtained from our website, VaticanCatholic.com, and our book, The Bible Proves: The Teachings of the Catholic Church.